This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, meet Kevin and Millennial Money here. Welcome back to another episode of Millennial Money. We've got a special offer for you in the link down below with Webull. If you deposit $100 with Webull, you'll get some free stocks, so check that out in the link down below. But today we're going to talk about a lot of things, specifically the market, touch on inflation and some other updates going on with us here. We're specifically going to start, though, with Agent Red, who is not a paying... chat person, but it is somebody who's about to get blasted because they like to say that Kevin is a flip-flopper, and Kevin doesn't like being called a flip-flopper. See, the reality is we have to answer things with nuance, and the reality is yeah, we've gone from a phase of thinking we would have much lower inflation than we've actually seen. We have seen much more inflation longer than we thought we would have. But that doesn't mean we don't expect, even as Millennial Money, and we'll talk about it, we don't expect inflation to go down. How much it goes down, how fast it goes down is TBD, and we've got Delta to worry about. But I think it's disingenuous to say that there's ever been flip-flopping, because I think I've been very clear, and we've been pretty clear with our opinions on the channel. I mean, we talk about inflation almost every week. But just to give a 20-second synopsis of my view is that obviously base effects, reopening, big inflation, when we get an inflection point to the downside. If it weren't for Delta, I think we'd go right back down to 2.5% inflation. I think Delta might push us back to 3.5, depending on how long it lasts. But in the long term, there won't be an inflation. It's just a matter of us getting through this next 6 months to 12 months. Might take. I'm going to take the glasses off. Hi, Mr. Troll. Hello, Millennial Money.
Kevin, I was having so much trouble trying to keep it together with you with those glasses on, man. I'm going to be honest. What's
up, Kevin?
Oh, gosh, that was all right.
So, what do you guys think? Let's talk. What do y'all think? What's gonna happen? What's going on?
So, my opinion is, I've always kind of stated like inflation was much higher than the government was kind of talking about. I think it's a lagging indicator, but now I'm taking much more toward your side, Kevin, kind of moving forward, especially going into 4Q, where I think we could start seeing a much decrease in inflation, and maybe I don't know if I want to go as far as to say deflation yet, but I think this crazy amount of inflation will definitely start to slow down in 4Q. I think the market will lag. I think the market will still be talking about huge inflation even when it starts coming down, and I think they'll lag on this just like they lagged, kind of coming into this. So that's my two cents on that.
How long do you think it'll lag?
Go ahead, Andre.
No, I was just saying, I kind of actually agree with Kevin's sentiment with it not being as high as we anticipated. So initially, I think it was higher than we thought, right? But as we go into Q4, as expectations are through the roof, I could see us being much lower in our demand, especially with COVID picking up as it is. So I could totally see the numbers going not as high as we anticipate. So I don't know. We could see a market go the other direction.
I don't know. I almost feel like COVID picking up is going to boost inflation in a way, because I think that means they're going to be less likely to reduce their asset purchases. They're going to keep interest rates low, and I think they could extend it a little bit longer than expected. I mean, even just like 2 months ago, as things were reopening, we were expecting, wait a second, they're going to start raising rates. Maybe this is going to get out of hand. Now I think at this point it could continue a little bit longer than we expect. So my opinion hasn't changed. I think it's going to be higher inflation than what the Fed thinks, but I think it's going to be lower than like the worst case scenario. Probably going to go on a little bit longer than what people expect.
Wait, we got to mention the channel.
Yeah. Down below in the description, you guys, have to subscribe to the Clips channel. We post a new video there. I think it's twice a day. Twice a day, you get a perfect clip of the entire live stream, like the best highlights and parts down below in the description. Just go and subscribe. I think we hit like 20,000 subscribers recently. It takes you a split second. So that's it. That's my pitch. That's all you got to do.
That was great.
That's awesome.
Okay, so here's the thing about inflation. It's out of hand. I mean, just flat out. I was on the Corsair earnings call. Well, I probably listened to that thing about six times now straight. And the CEO says that just for a container, they're paying like 4x what they were paying like in 2019. That's so unsustainable. It's ridiculous. For a container? He's like, I think we might get in the container business. I'm like, I wouldn't blame you, man. There's got to be some money to be made there. It's out of control.
Yeah. And you know what's really interesting is in China, as soon as like one person coughs at the ports, and more realistically, somebody gets COVID, they shut them down. And it just makes all of the supply chain issues worse. And so this is where like Delta is really throwing this wrench into this gear, the gears essentially, where Delta could, in a weird way, cause people to temporarily save money again, to stay home, to spend less money. And so that's a deflationary pressure. But Delta could make supply chain issues worse. And like Graham said, that could lead to more money printing, which is an inflationary pressure. So then it's like, what happens when we get a reopening after Delta again? Like, and when is this cycle going to end? It's scary. And Delta cases, or just COVID cases in general, you know, highest we've seen since the previous waves, just today. It's not going down yet.
Yeah. The numbers are insane. I think yesterday was 245,000 new cases or something like that. 1,000 deaths. So the percentage of deaths to new cases is substantially lower than it was in previous waves, probably because elderly have, for the most part, got their shots. But the percentages are way down. But at the same time, deaths have still climbed immensely. Hospitalizations have climbed immensely. ICU numbers, like if you look at all the stats and the facts around it, all the numbers have gotten dramatically worse. But it's interesting because it just doesn't seem like anybody wants to give that any attention. And it seems like we just want to stay open and keep going on this thing. So, yeah.
Well, the numbers are substantially higher than what we talked about last week, right? I don't know if we want to throw that chart up again, but if you guys remember from last episode, a chart that we showed, I have it up here somewhere. Yeah, it's climbing, man. It's continuing. Yeah.
They just posted for today, didn't they? Is that? Yeah. Oh no, this is that one block. Sorry. Okay. I thought, for example, there were two here. Never mind. Yeah.
Hold on. There we go. I just sent it to you, Kevin. So if you want to throw that on the screen, it's substantially higher than if you guys remember it last week.
I'll use that chart.
Yeah, the hospitalization ICU numbers have gone insane, man. Some states are out of control, but you know, I don't know. It's just interesting because I'm just watching it, and it just seems like no one really cares this time around. That like everybody's kind of like turning a blind eye to it. Like, I don't see it. So if it doesn't exist, if it's not
there. Look at that curve, man. Remember that when that curve was just trending upward, and it was like, it looks like it's about to just it's evolving.
Mm-hmm. And you know, something else too is I think the United Kingdom, they kind of I don't think I can see it here. I think the United Kingdom's cases, Kingdom COVID cases, they've kind of plateaued at a higher level. Look at that, which is kind of scary because we saw them have that exponential curve, and we were kind of hoping that maybe in the United States we would see that same thing, like, oh, it's just the UK spike, it'll come back down. But look, they're stabilizing way up.
Is that where they went into a lockdown, or what did they implement at the peak there? Was that any there, or is that just a normal drop off?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think initially folks were suspecting that this drop off occurred because I think like 88% of the adults in the United Kingdom have had at least one shot. I mean, they're like 18% higher than we are in terms of first shot. So they've got way closer to herd immunity. And I think folks had so much optimism that, oh, the UK, they're 2 weeks ahead of us, or a month ahead of us, or whatever. That's going to be us. It's all going to plummet again. But now it's stabilizing and still rotating up. So that's not good.
Yeah, I know. The numbers are scary, man.
But you guys are all vaccinated though, right? Yeah, we're all vaccinated.
Yeah, and well, I don't even want to talk about anything. So I'll just change that subject. So yeah, I'm vaccinated. So, but anyways, Yeah, no, I don't want to go there. So The question is this going to have any type of negative actual effect on the economy? COVID numbers going up. Let's not even talk about inflation, just COVID numbers rising. Do you think in any way that makes people say, I don't want to go out, or do people just like, I don't care if everybody has Roni Rona out there. I'm still going out, still living life.
It seems like anecdotally, people are becoming more careful again. I've definitely seen that now people are a little bit more vigilant of wearing a mask. They're just keeping a little bit more of a distance, not a huge change, but I think it's just being more aware of their surroundings and at least just giving a little bit more space between people. But it doesn't seem like there's still that that fear that existed about a year ago.
Yeah, I think the numbers will climb, but if the numbers get like crazy out of hand, then I see it. But I just feel like people are so tired of staying at home that it's going to take something really extraordinary for the mental, like psychological effect to start affecting markets. I just think everybody's just so tired of being at home that it's going to take something going into the winter time. It's like we said before.
I mean, it already is. I feel like starting to affect the markets, and it's just the fear of like what's going to happen, how severe is this going to be? And I have a feeling the fear is probably going to be worse for the markets than whatever the reality is, because you tend to
I'm pessimistic, but I feel like the opposite is going to happen this time around. It's like, it's always just when you anticipate like, oh, of course it's going to be a repeat of last time. We're going to get crazy inflation. And maybe that's part of like the pessimism or the jadedness that I have is like, I just feel like the market's going to do the complete opposite. And I don't know quite how to quantify that feeling, but it just feels like it's just not going to be what you think it's going to be. And just markets
I kind of agree with that. I mean, if you look at the market now, it's like we would expect that with the surge in cases, recovery stocks would plummet. But really, recovery stocks have been going down for 3 months now. It's almost like the market was trying to like pre-engineer that. Now it's like, oh, well, stay-at-home stocks should be doing well, like Zoom or Peloton. Not really. You know what's doing well right now is Moderna. I feel like everybody's just like plowing money into Moderna because they're like, well, Moderna does good if Delta's here or if Delta goes away because people are going to need boosters, or it's kind of like a recovery stock, but it's also kind of like a COVID stock. So I feel like people are just like, I don't know what to do with my money. I'll just go Moderna. Like, it just feels like a lot of uncertainty and cluelessness right now in terms of what's going on.
Yeah, 100%. Pfizer is another one that's been moving up. Pfizer. Yep.
And Johnson & Johnson. That's a classic.
Yeah,
it's my top to own for life. I gotta love me some Johnson & Johnson. I don't know if you guys own Johnson. I've had it since 2014.
Nice.
Yeah. Are they? What's the deal with them? Because I heard, you know, they had the one shot one, which everybody was excited about. I know my mom, when she was like, "Oh, only get one shot," but then all of a sudden there was some drama. Can they give that out, or what's the deal with that?
Wait, what's the question? Can they what?
Can Johnson & Johnson give out their shot? Because for a while they had to pull it off the market because there were some worries about the shot and danger.
Yeah, I think it was a high risk of blood clots. It was over 55 or 60, but they determined that the risks of not getting a shot outweighed the potential of a blood clot. So
let's not go down that path. That's a slippery slope.
That was sufficient.
I just had a conversation with a friend until like 3 a.m. and he was just scaring me. And I'm like, I just hope you're full of crap. Like, I don't want to listen to you. I'm just like terrified. I don't want to get into that.
The whole vaccine thing is so politically charged right now, you know, and I think it doesn't help that we don't actually have FDA approval yet. You know, it's even though we have new technology, it's true. It's some of the fastest stuff that has been produced, you know? So it's I don't know. It's this endless debate.
Not to mention that there's like no single source that we can all go to get the information from. It's like, I don't know what to believe. Anything I read, like any opinion you have will be supported by some study or some research or some sensationalist piece by the media. Like, I don't know where to go to get like the main source other than maybe the CDC, but like, we just don't have the studies yet.
But even like the CDC just drives me so nuts because like I kind of like as you were saying that, I already pulled this up. I'm like, look at this. They literally say, do not choose masks, including N95s. And I'm like, are you dumb? Like, this is the best protection. people could have is like an N95, right? Like a rest, like an actual mask that filters, right? It's not only better if you're sick to wear that, but it's better if you're not to wear that. Like, science proves this. We know these are good. We know there are plenty of them available. Yet here's our federal government telling people not to wear N95s. This is moronic. Sorry, I'll say it.
So is this, you think they're pulling the same PPE thing where they're just trying to protect the frontline workers? Or what do you think? Why would they say that?
There's plenty. And quite frankly, if there wasn't, we had 18 months to make enough. You know what I mean? Like, we did the Defense Production Act to make ventilators, and Tesla was making ventilators. How about making more masks? Well, Honeywell did and 3M did, and now we've got enough masks, but you still got this antiquated government. And this, I tell you, every day in politics, because now I'm so exposed to it, it just sucks. Like, if politics or like government were a business, it'd be bankrupt, man. It's so bad.
We need to have HEPA filters be the standard for every business that's operational. Just HEPA filter everything.
Yes. But buy 3M stock first.
Right. Speaking of that, Kevin, how is your campaign going? You're getting pretty far.
It's fun, man. Just the last week has been insane. I mean, it's every day. It's just been back-to-back interviews. Like, today, I was interviewing with the USA Today, and it was the funniest question. I spent 45 minutes with them in person, and they had a photographer come and everything. Right after that, the guy's like, so you off for the rest of the day, or what are you doing now? I have the Associated Press on standby waiting for you to stop asking me questions so I can interview with them. Then I went on the Adam Carolla podcast at 3:15.
Are you serious? Adam Carolla. And then
right after that, I had a CBS interview. Right after that, I had the San Diego interview. Now we got this. It's just like, it's crazy just how many interviews are out. It's kind of fun because it's different, but especially in person, because now it's like, I remember as a kid, it was like, oh, look, it's a news van or whatever. Now it's like, there's a news van and they're coming to talk to me. It's so weird.
That's cool. Wait, so what are the chances of him getting recalled now? Is it like higher, or what are people feeling?
It's really close right now. I mean, the last two poll, one poll showed him at 51% likely to get recalled. A CBS one came out and he was like 48% likely to be recalled. Like, 4 months ago, the recall was like a 30% chance of happening. Nobody cared about it. Nobody was paying attention to it. Now it's like, people are like, get this loser out.
So what changed? Wow. What changed? Is it just people got more serious now about the polls, or what is it?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I think the fires don't help. You know, NPR came out and did this big headline piece about how he misled all Californians about fires, that he overstated his fire prevention by 690%. And now we have a big fire problem, right? Now they're talking about potentially doing water curtailments because we're so out of water. And these are all the direct result of basically him not prioritizing solving fire prevention or water solutions, right? So Californians are like, ugh, and now we got to potentially have COVID 2.0 lockdowns with Delta coming up. So I think people are waking up a little bit more, realizing, wait a minute, maybe we do need somebody else running this thing.
I'm so surprised how he stayed in government as long as he has, considering the problems of California. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
It's really interesting. In my opinion, I think he rode Jerry Brown because he was his LT governor, and so was able to kind of ride the way up through other means, like, oh, mayor of San Francisco, what happened there? Homelessness, crime, everything got worse, right? Now it's kind of happening statewide. But I think he rode through the Jerry Brown administration, and then he gets a lot of money from, like, the Gettys and some of the pretty rich established families here. I mean, there's a lot of dirt out on it. I don't like going into that kind of stuff, but yeah, it's just political connections, man. It's crazy. You know, like, just an example, you guys have heard about that high-speed rail in California?
Yeah.
They basically want to build like this $100 billion choo-choo train to get people from Bakersfield to NorCal. And I went to Bakersfield and people are like, this is the stupidest waste of money ever. Like, nobody wants it. He actually went into office campaigning that he was going to kill the high-speed rail. Then he got tons of money from high-speed rail contractors. Now he loves the high-speed rail.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And this would be a great time to plug our sponsor. No, I'm just kidding.
The High Speed Rail Company of California. You haven't heard of it? It's going to get you so fast. 2050. Oh,
hey, God. We are creating a speed rail between Cali and Nevada, right?
I've heard about that for like 10 years.
That's been in the works for such a long time. They wanted to do that starting from Victorville to Las Vegas, which would be fantastic. Then I think it was about 2 years ago, there was something that was signed in that said like it was approved, but now they got to work on the budget for it. But yeah, as long as I could remember, that's been going on. And when I was like trying to buy in San Bernardino initially, that was a big selling point because it was like, ooh, they've been working for 10 years now to build this rail, maybe one day. And that was like 10 years ago. So it's been going on for a while now. Eventually, I think it'll happen, but we'll see.
So you guys think the boring tunnel will get here first before the high-speed rail?
I don't think California's going to let you do anything soon, including high-speed. It's broken, man.
Tunnels, though.
So smart. You know, did we talk about this? I don't know if we did. I think Fort Lauderdale, which has a water table that's like 5 feet deep, they're going to do a boring tunnel to help people get around Fort Lauderdale. Like, I grew up around there, and I'm like, yes, this is brilliant. So you got like the mayor of Miami is doing crypto, right? Texas is getting Tesla's Gigafactory over there, and they want to expand these and build homes around there. They're doing the boring tunnels. I mean, it's just like, why can't that be California?
I'm gonna do more research in the boring tunnels. So there's this YouTuber that's been blowing up lately. I saw one of his videos got recommended to me like a couple nights ago, and he did one on why Dubai is such a dumb city, like the way they set up Dubai.
Oh god!
It has over 5 million views. You saw that?
It kept coming up recommended, so I clicked on it.
Yeah.
Fantastic video.
Yeah, and so now his videos keep getting recommended, and there's one that has Elon Musk in a clown suit. And it says that Elon Musk is such a clown for the boring tunnel idea. I haven't got to watch the video yet, but I clicked on it and I figured, well, it's Elon Musk. This guy must get a ton of hate. And the thumbs up to thumbs down ratio is crazy in this guy's favor. So I'm going to have to watch that video tonight or whatever and hear why he thinks the boring tunnels are such a dumb idea or idiotic.
It's probably a Trojan horse. It's probably like the opposite. And this is why it's the most brilliant idea ever. And he's a clown for not doing it earlier.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna have to check it out. But anyways, that guy, man, his channel is blown up. So anyways, hey, we're gonna talk about the elephant in the room, Kevin. Tattoo Chef's getting destroyed, man. That's why I have to record in my garage tonight. I'm sweating my butt off out here. I can't afford to run the AC. I'm trying to buy as many shares as possible. What happened, Kevin? Why didn't I short the stock with you? Not short it. I mean, just sell it.
It's all SPACs, man. I mean, for the last 3 or 4 months, people have just been regularly saying like, oh, should I buy SPACs? Should I buy SPACs? And SPACs are really juicy right now for selling puts because I think the market just expects them to go down. So you can get some sweet credits like farm with that. But I don't know, just anything SPAC is bad right now. All SPACs just down. And whether it's a good or bad company, look, they're great SPACs. They're not so great SPACs. You know, I don't think Tattoo Chef is that horrible. I think if anything, it's one of the better ones. I'll give you a credit, you know. But it's just SPACs in general. You know, they're easy to short. I feel like you've got institutional investors are like, what are higher value, newer companies that we could play short bets on or puts, you know, take out puts on? And it's either Cathy's Ark, you know, we saw the Burry thing, or it's SPACs. It's like they're easy short targets right now. And I think that's what's happening and easy things to pull money out of. It's people are worried about that higher valuation now.
Pulled up the Tattooed Chef stock and the chart just scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's
25% down. Hold on.
Yeah, it was down on Friday alone.
Yeah,
like
down 31% in the last 6 months. Now, on the positive side, it does seem to have some support. It looks like around the 16 range. So I think it's going to be pretty crucial over the next few days if it bounces up from here. Or if it goes down below like 1550, if it drops below 1550, I think we could potentially see 14.
Yeah. What's your average cost basis?
1880 or something like that.
So I could get in below yours?
You can. Everybody can get a lower price than me right now. Like, my hope is I can get my cost basis under 1850, but I've already added so many shares that it gets harder and harder to like average down now. So, oh man. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of these stocks are getting destroyed. Voyager hit 13s today. We have, let's see, well, Tesla was selling off, but then it came back a bit. Obviously, Tattoo Chef 16 today. We have, let's see whichever ones. Wins at 91. It was at 90 today. Wow. The Planet almost, I think the Planet might have hit 499 today, just under $5. Smile Direct Club's now under $5. And that one was 13 and some change 6 months ago. So Honest Company's under $10. That's a newer IPO. So yeah, it seems like anything that's gone public in the last 12 to 18 months just, and there's no volume. I was looking at Corsair's volume. Like, you'd think, like, you know, Corsair being such a talked about stock, the valuation's so down, high growth. The volume is half of what it usually is for Corsair Gaming. And so it's just, it's interesting to see there's just, I don't know, man. There's just like, where's the Wall Street money? It seems like they don't want to touch anything. It doesn't matter the growth numbers. If it's smaller cap and higher growth and went public recently, they seem to just not be interested, no matter what. So,
Is that selling pressure because of hedge funds or the short positions they're taking on, or because retailers are selling because they're anticipating deflation? Like, what's the primary factor?
I think the main thing is you're always going to have some selling pressure, right? You're always going to have some funds selling out or individuals that have to sell for one reason or another, right? So that's always going to be there, but there's no buying pressure, it seems like, on any of these stocks. I mean, Tattoo Chef reported 62% branded revenue growth, and it's just, there's no buying pressure. Corsair Gaming is down to a forward P of 15, and they just reported 24% revenue growth in the last quarter, which is insane. And that stock traded half its regular volume today, half. So it just, I don't know. I guess it's just, you know, there's a conspiracy theory. I don't get into those dark pools, bro. Yeah. The conspiracy theory that, you know, earlier in the year, everybody with the GameStop and AMC, oh, we're going to show Wall Street. We're going to show Wall Street up. We're going to own them. And so now Wall Street's getting their revenge and are like, we'll see what happens with you guys. Any stock that's a Reddit stock, YouTube stock.
I
don't want to go, you know, that's whatever. Okay. I got to focus on what I got to focus on, which is buying on dip. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that are starting to think that. Because it's true. Like, you can't really find a Reddit stock or a YouTube stock that is popular in those communities that's really doing that great. SoFi, somebody just sent me, fell like 25%. Yep. It seems like every single stock that's in those communities is just downtrending viciously. So
yeah, I sold a ton of puts on SoFi. I think I tied up in collateral like $490,000 on SoFi, and I took like, I want to say it was close to 50%. It was like a $230,000 credit or something that I took. And I went all the way out because I think volatility is going to go down. So I went out to like 2023 and I'm like, I'm going to just take that credit and sit here with the money. But it's weird because even like, you know, treasury yields falling, which usually indicates that the market expects, you know, inflation to cool down over the next, you know, few months or even year. But part of me also wonders, are people just taking their cash out of the market, buying some bonds, you know, sitting on the sidelines with the cash? Like, I agree with you, Jerry. Like, where is the money? Or is it just evaporating?
Yeah.
Wait, who's buying bonds right now? Just retirees, you guys think?
It's a really good question.
Really wealthy companies, just I think short term.
I've never met anybody in my life that's like
10 years.
Well, think about like Apple, for example, right? They don't necessarily just keep their money in cash. They'll buy treasuries. And so they might have, you know, whatever, $100 billion in cash. But I don't know the exact breakout. What I wouldn't be imagining, I wouldn't be surprised if like half of that was just various different treasury bonds, just ultra secure, give us a tiny little return. We basically want it to be cash-like. So if tomorrow we need to dump it and go acquire a company, we can, but they still get a little bit of a return. That's like, why else you would, you know, buy a 10-year note for 1.26%? Like, what, you know?
I've never met a single individual that's been like, oh, I'm buying bonds right now. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever met anybody. But,
no, never, no. Right.
What are you guys buying right now?
Well, I'll let the other guys start because I'm buying just about everything. So my list is probably going to take the rest of the episode. But why don't you guys start it out?
Yeah, I'll start off with what shopping I did today. So I bought in SoFi. Okay. I bought a big chunk at $13.65 this morning.
Nice.
So SoFi was good. Wynn, when Wynn dropped to 90, I placed a small order on Wynn, more S&P 500, and bought a little bit of Robinhood. I mean, not much. We're talking like how many shares of Robinhood? About 20 shares of Robinhood. So a little bit, basically. And and Fisker at $13.85. So that was my buy today.
Nice. Andre?
I didn't buy any individual stocks. I'm just still doing broad market index funds, VTI, VOO. And
you're looking really smart right now, Andre. You're looking really smart.
And I bought a backyard.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Wait. Tell us about this.
Kevin's going to like, ooh, juicy. I'm going to destroy this guy.
Where are my glasses?
Let me run the numbers here. Hold on.
There we go.
Agent Smith over here. Yeah, no, So my backyard had this like huge ugly rock formation feature, which didn't make any sense. It took up the entire backyard. It took us like a month to remove it because it had rebar inside of it, and that was really expensive. It was like $4,000 to remove, just to remove it, just to flatten it. And then I spent roughly, I want to say like $24,000 in the backyard altogether, which I think is not bad considering how big the house is and how the backyard is. So $24,000 is about what I spent. And they just finished it. Luckily, they finished it really quickly. But the more interesting part is, okay, so you guys know those rocks that you place around, kind of like around the turf, right? I did not know this, but there are so many different options. And one of the options they gave me was like, say, $100 a ton. I need 10 tons in my backyard. Another one was like $34 a ton. And I'm like, ooh, I like this rock right here. It was a Black River rock.
Oh, gosh.
And there was a White River rock about the size of my fist.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love that. How much is that? And he's like, $1,800 a ton. And I'm like, you're telling me I need to spend $18,000 to fill my backyard with rocks? Like the next time some friend of mine like takes a rock, I'm like, wait, that's $20. Come back with that rock.
Yeah, I had the same thing happen with my backyard. We went through and we looked at all the stones, and starting from the cheapest one to the most expensive, and the most expensive was the river rock. It's just, it looks cool. It's really modern. Yeah, like a black stone like that looks awesome. It's so expensive. I went with that. I didn't go with the cheapest. I went with like the third to the cheapest.
Mm.
And listen, you never even notice it. Honestly, the plants grow over it. You're never going to see it. Not that important.
Yeah,
it does look really nice.
It's insane how expensive it can get. And then we planted lemon trees on the corners of the backyard. We put like a cedar. What do you call it? It's like shiplap. Yeah, that's what it's called. Shiplap. We shiplap the entire backyard in the back with cedar planks, which look really beautiful. Anyway, nice. I'll make a video about it. Anyway, that's what I'm buying. I'm buying house stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
So let me do my Kevin impression. Well, you see, Andre, you know, that's my problem with real estate. You know, I keep telling Lauren, just throw a bunch of rocks back there. Gravel. Who cares? You know, it's like it's just a backyard. Like, it doesn't really matter.
No, Jeremy, it's like this. Rocks? Who needs rocks? Glaze it. What do you need a backyard for? Glaze it. You don't need a roof? Glaze it. Reglaze it.
That's good.
All right, Kevin.
That's a good one.
What are you buying? All right.
You know, I added a little bit to Ethereum. That's kind of it. I'm really, really just like hoarding cash right now. I want to find some really good dips. Like, for example, if Enphase went down to 120 again, Redfin is like on this disastrous downtrend. And when this thing bounces, I'm going to add to it. You know, SoFi is on that downtrend. I've got a ton of sold puts on it. But if it keeps trending down, I'm going to have to buy shares. You know, Tesla, I actually have some covered calls now, which is I've had for I think I bought those last week. I don't know if it was before or after we talked last. But beyond that, it's been mostly about sitting around with cash because I'm waiting for people to be freaking out. I don't think we've gotten to freak out yet. You know, we are in this place where like some prices are good, but I don't think we've gotten to panic yet. And I'm waiting for that panic.
Right. You want that blood in the waters. Yeah. I'm actually excited for Ethereum next year. I think next year is when everything's going to take off, especially Ethereum, because Ethereum tends to lag behind Bitcoin by about a year.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, considering that Bitcoin had this crazy rise this year, I'm pretty sure Ethereum next year is going to take off like bonkers.
You know, what's crazy is Bloomberg did this whole piece on how there's like no leverage right now in crypto. That leverage just got eradicated in crypto over the last cycle here. And a lot of liquidations happened or whatever. And they mentioned that like this lack of leverage and then seeing growth in crypto again, with the exception of today. Today's not been a great day for crypto, but the growth we have been seeing, we're now, you know, Bitcoin's at 47 again instead of 37 or 29, right? This growth happening without leverage is potentially the start of hitting some new records, to where if we could get to 50 or 60K without leverage and then people start turning on the leverage switch, you know, we might see 100K. It's kind of interesting. I don't know.
We're setting up, man. We're setting up. I don't think we've seen that exponential growth curve yet this year. Just like whenever Bitcoin goes up to its like exponential highs, and you guys remember seeing that spike in the graph?
Yeah.
That lasts for an average about 5 continuous days. Every single day you wake up and it's like 1,000, 2,000 more, 3,000 more. And you're like, oh, this is not going to end. And you get like the biggest FOMO that you've ever felt. You're like, oh, I need to put all my money in now. And we haven't felt that this year. It's been fast. It grew fast, but like sustainably fast, not like 5 days fast. Yeah. So, it's going to happen. I still think it's going to happen this year.
Didn't we feel that though back in April when it was hitting like 60K?
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No,
I feel like there was a lot of that back in the Doge, right around Doge time. I feel like two guys on this show right here that were feeling that FOMO. One's above my screen and one is to the left of my screen. I feel like you guys had some FOMO about Bitcoin back then, man. Dogecoin. No FOMO.
No. I my positions are pretty set. I don't have that FOMO, but.
Okay.
Dogecoin, I think, is a different beast, though. Dogecoin is, you know, the smaller cap one, and I don't think that's necessarily representative of crypto right now. But
That's true. But it took the whole crypto market's attention there for about, what was that, 2 months? I mean, that's, man, that had the world talking. But I mean, Bitcoin went through a huge, you know, I mean, if you go back, what is it, 18 months ago, Bitcoin was 3,300 or whatever, you know, and today, I don't know what it's at, 40,000 something maybe. So
45, 46.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's still, you know, it's made quite a move in the last, let's say, 18 months, but yeah, I guess recently it hasn't done anything.
Have you bought anything besides Ethereum? I think we forced you to buy Ethereum, if I believe correct.
Yes, that is true. And I sold it all shortly after and put it in VGX. And I'm 100%.
No way.
My portfolio is 100% VGX.
Jeremy. No way.
I don't know. Yep. And I think I sold my MicroStrategy too and put that in VGX also. So
this is what we like to call in the industry getting wrecked.
Yeah.
I'm diversifying. I would do a third Bitcoin, third Ethereum, third VGX if that's what you want to do.
No way.
33, 33, 33 if that's how you want to
do. That's good.
No way, man. The Dogecoin millionaire. Did he become that because he was a third? No, he did not. He was 100% Doge. I'm 100% VGX when it comes to crypto. And you guys are going to see. One day I'm going to be rich, and you're all going to be like, oh, you're so smart. And you're going to have
all right.
We'll see. Or I'm going to lose all that money, and I'm going to be like, well, I'll see you guys. It's gonna be one of those two ways. Probably nothing in between when it comes to VGX. But anyways.
Go ahead. We can continue talking about crypto, but let's move on. Yeah.
So back to the stock buys. Yeah, I've been obviously loading up on the Chef and Corsair. And I've been buying some Smile Direct Club now that's been $5 or under, which is kind of a higher risk play, I guess you can say. But my kind of play there is obviously everybody's been wearing masks for the last 18 months. So this has not been the best time period for anything dental related, like, you know, because everybody's been able to hide behind masks, not really getting together. Mm. And so like, who really cares about if your teeth are straight? Like the last 18 months has been a kind of a time to not care about that, right? Well, eventually those masks are going away and eventually people are going to get together more and more often. And then, you know, you start being self-conscious about your smile. And next thing you know, you're thinking about braces. And Smile Direct Club is an awesome offer for that. So I'm looking at that as a stock that's down 60, 70% from its highs. And that's an opportunity. So, and then I'm also go ahead.
Sorry, not sponsored.
Yeah, no, they're definitely not sponsored. Although I don't think they have the money to pay to sponsor with their low stock price. So, but I'm also trying to keep some good cash because we are now less than 30 days away from 2024 call options coming out, which is what I really want. That's what I really want.
Kevin, you're shaking your head. Why are you shaking your head?
I just think it's a mistake. I think you're going to get wrecked. You could be right. It depending on how much these prices go down. Look, in fairness, if in I don't know what you said, 30 days or whatever. Let's say we're May again, you know, and we have this low in the market. Oh crap! You could buy any call options and do fine then. Trend wise, right now it's looking good because prices are going down. So maybe that'll be better. But just the volatility crush that we've seen in options over the last 6 months has been devastating to people who have been buying leaps. It's been very bad. So, if volatility keeps going down and we just go to a boring market, I don't know, I'd be cautious.
I don't know what that has to do with the price of eggs, though, Kevin, because, you know, we're in a situation here where Corsair is trading at 26. You're telling me in January of 2024, Corsair is not going to be at least like, let's say, $40 a share, 50, 60. That's the way I look at it. I'm like, you know, when some of these stocks start to get to silly prices, I got to take advantage. You know, let's say
Windows. Yeah, but one of the things that we have this problem with right now is a lot of the silly prices are compared to a silly recent market that we've had where everybody's been rich, right? And so I'm worried that like what happens if we go into a frugal decade, right? And all of a sudden the stimulus is gone. We're not printing as much money anymore. Okay, maybe rates don't necessarily go up right away. Maybe the Fed sits on their hands a bit, but people just aren't spending like they are anymore. I mean, just this morning, you know, we have lower retail sales in China. We see the same thing, the same kind of drop in the United States. Production's going down. Maybe it's Delta fears. I hope it's Delta fears. But, you know, you look at consumer spending. I mean, it's up when people get printed money, but you got unemployment going away. Maybe people have bought the stuff they were going to buy during the pandemic. It's like, are people really now like, oh, I'm not getting stimulus. Time to go buy some more Corsair memory cards. You know, like, don't get me wrong. I think they're going to do better when the chip shortage gets alleviated. It's kind of like Enphase or anything that's making stuff with chips right now. They'll do better when the chip shortage goes away. But what are people going to be buying? You know, is it going to be something that tries to save them money like solar panels? Or is it going to be buying the gaming stuff? I don't know. It's a very, very bizarre market.
Yeah, and that's always the risk when it comes to that. Like, if I'm ever thinking about long-term call options, something 2 years plus in advance, that's what I'm always thinking about is actually recession. Like, what happens if we have an actual recession somewhere in there? Because we know all stocks would probably drop a bunch more. Revenues would go down. Net income would go down. And then we got to climb back up. And does it climb back up in time where I can get out and at least save face, right? And so that's something that you kind of got to always accept. And that's why I can't go, like, it's not going to see me put 100% of my money into call options. It's like a portion.
What would you do?
I would put about, like, I'm putting, let's say, I'm 20% of my cash right now. Whoops. Hold on. Sorry. What happened? Where did it go? I was just getting good. Man. How do I get back on this thing? Help me, Kevin. Hey, there I am. I'm back. Yeah. Okay. So we're talking about call options. Yeah. As far as the calls go, 20% of my cash is going into calls. Okay.
And then how much cash are you at? How much cash are you at right now?
Low seven figures. Low.
Sorry. I mean, that's fine. I was going to say percentage wise, but that's fine. You don't have to.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. So, you know, $200,000 to $300,000 into options. Okay. Fine. That's fair. I don't think it's like you're going YOLO all in, like super high risk here. I mean, 20% of cash. Whatever.
Let me make it clear. I've never bought over 100K worth of options in my life in terms of all at one time. So this is a big move relative to anything I've ever done in relation to options before. And I just want to make it also really clear. A lot of these stocks have to stay down. And oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on. Guys. I'm sorry about this. I got to figure out how to turn this thing on. I've never had this happen.
Do not disturb.
Do not disturb. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to look that up after the video. Okay. So anyways, where are we at? There's the dang call options. Okay. The call options. I'm going digging them. I'm going all in. Let's just leave it at that. Let me figure out this do not disturb.
All good.
Jeremy,
okay.
What makes you so confident though, besides that it has to be higher 2 years from now?
Yeah.
Okay. Good news is I got do not disturb on. Okay. So, I mean, it's a stock by stock basis. So if I look at something like a Corsair Gaming, it's not looking at it from the respect of like, oh, this is off so far from its 52 week high. It's looking at Corsair Gaming saying it's at a forward P of, let's say, 15 or 16, very nice revenue growth. And I think the valuation is just unsustainably low. And so as long as a company puts up decent numbers over the next few years, it should see a valuation rise quite a bit above where it's at now. I think that's a stock that should command at least a 25 forward P, roughly 27, somewhere in there. And so it's mainly a valuation case with the growth and Wall Street just being in a situation where they can't stay out of it for too long. So, and I have to look at it on a stock by stock basis. I'll say Tattoo Chef's a little more of a risk than a Corsair Gaming. That's why Corsair Gaming is my number one stock. I'm interested in call options. But look at something like Tattoo Chef, that has more valuation risk because there's no real like forward P on Tattoo Chef right now, which is something to kind of think about because the company's not profitable. So in relation to that, it's a bigger risk. However, with Tattoo Chef, also the upside's crazy, you know? So, you know, kind of little puts and takes there, but it's kind of a case by case basis. You can't just say I'm going to buy call options and everything. It's very specific stocks. So
what do you guys think about Michael Burry shorting ARK?
Dude, he's a brilliant marketer. He knows how to get the headlines. When Tesla's hot, he shorts it. When Kathy's hot, he shorts her. When the housing market's hot, he shorts it. You know, and he knows how to get the headlines, man. I mean, talk about being a contrarian investor and basically getting free advertising to pump your fund. Brilliant.
That's true. He was right about Tesla, though. So, I mean, couldn't he just get in and out pretty quick? If Kathy Wood's fund drops 5%, even if he could announce, I've shorted it, that itself causes it to drop 5%. He exits. He gets free promotion. And he's right on top of that. Because
he's like, I'm a genius.
He created a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. Right. Did you guys see Kathy's response to him? She's like, I don't believe that he understands the fundamentals that are creating explosive growth and innovation. Yes. That's funny.
She slammed him so hard.
Yeah, it's a nice neg. It's a diss for sure. sneaked in.
Like, I've never seen Kathy go aggressive like that. And like, I know it's just a tweet, you know, but it's still kind of cool.
Now, to be fair, though, Kevin, do you think it's really just over marketing, or do you think he's actually thinks he's going to make a lot of money in this whole deal?
I mean, look, shorting Kathy Wood has actually been very popular this entire year. And this, so far, it has been an excellent strategy. Shorts on Kathy Wood have gone from virtually nothing in January to about 13% on RK, which 13% on an ETF is a lot. This isn't a SPAC. This isn't a single stock. It's a basket of you know, whatever, 50 stocks or whatever she has, which is crazy to short it. But it's been the easiest way to get short exposure to high value stocks, because she basically, her fund is made up of stocks. When you like average out the PEs, I mean, you're like, the fund is probably like a 200 PE, you know, or more, or infinite. Jeez. Yeah, it's really easy to short in this market, and it's been an excellent strategy. Will it be going forward? I don't know. If we get that inflation bottom out, and then finally maybe we get people going back into innovation, well, that's when you get the U-turn, and then the shorts will get burned.
Now, you know, here's another thing, Kevin. You know, this is more of a question for you, because I know you said you're not really, you know, buying much, and you're just kind of sitting on cash. Do you think you're going to potentially get a little too greedy around pricing when it comes to these, a lot of these stocks? So you just think, like, you know, it doesn't matter, and they're all due to drop, and, you know, maybe be a little more specific around what stocks you think could drop a lot more. Is it like big tech? Is it these small caps, like, you know, that we spoke about here today? A lot of these small caps you think could fall a lot more, like, kind of what's a little more in depth there?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, look, I don't mind missing an opportunity or whatever. I've gotten very and maybe sometimes you're too comfortable, but I love not being on margin. I've got no margin. I just love having like some money there. If an opportunity comes up, you can buy that. And this used to be like, and I'm sure still is, Graham, you know, like a year ago, I'd be like, no, keep no cash, you know. But this market is so, and look, a year ago, you could buy anything, but this market is so stupid right now. It's like, I look and I'm like, people are like, oh, Kevin, Enphase went from you know, 180 to 170. We should buy the dip. And I'm like, why? It was just 120 in May. It was 120, you know, 4 months before that. It's trending down. What's the rush? I'm going to miss out on 170. I'm going to have that opportunity again. You know, now it's 160. And like, I wouldn't be surprised if we get more red days here. It's back at 130 soon. So it's like, look, wake me up when there's a good deal.
Right.
That's interesting. So you're basically saying there's no good deals out there in the market right now.
I think I'm a little worried that right now there is a solid foundation. Like, I think there's a solid foundation of the stock market. But then I think on top of that is like a foundation of sand. So I'm trying to figure out, like, where does the foundation of sand end and where do we hit bedrock in stock prices, right? Like, I want to buy where the bedrock is, not on all the sand. And because I feel like we're buying in quicksand on some of these stocks right now. And it's like, yeah, sure, of course, these companies should be worth more in the future, but they should be worth more than their bedrock value, not all this crazy quicksand, which is from all the J-Pow, you know? And it's just, it's really, I've gotten jaded, because in February, I was like, buy the dip, right? And then we get these low prices in March. And it's like, yes, go crazy. Buy the dip. And then we get more pain at the end of March. And then it's like, crap, I'm out of money to buy the dip. And then there's pain in April. And then there was even more pain in May. And it's just like, it's been a year of just wait for more pain.
So what's your strategy then? Just stack as much cash as you can in the interim until you
right
buy
now,
the
yeah.
deal? What if things just stay about the same for the next year or two?
And that's okay. Then I'll do real estate or crypto. So it doesn't have to be stocks. And I think that's where I've kind of opened my something I've been saying on the channel in the last few weeks has been RCC, real estate, crypto, cash. So it's like, look, I'll just if I'm sitting on a couple million dollars, I'll go buy real estate deals. I don't care. Like, I'll go find one of my old school wedge deals or whatever. I feel no rush right now.
Kevin,
and it's a great feeling.
what about alternative assets like a car? Believe it or not, a Ford GT just recently sold at auction, $385,000. That's a 25% increase from when I bought mine back in February. 25%.
That's crazy. So, yes. I mean, maybe I'm just not like super well educated in cars. That's entirely possible.
I'm telling you right now. Also, if you buy a Mercedes SLS AMG and you could find one under like 165, 100% you'll make money on it. That should be a $250,000 car.
That's crazy.
Three, four years.
I mean, the problem is like
you get to enjoy it. You get to park a SLS AMG in your garage.
But the thing is, like, then I can't
enjoy it.
But then I can't use my garage for something else, right? And like, see, I have a smaller house. I don't have a big garage. And look, I mean, don't get me wrong.
That's what you should be doing. That's where your money should be going right now, Kevin. I've been saying this a lot. Your money should be going towards a bigger house in a good area that's going to go up in value. You take advantage of that primary residence loan. You section half of it off for your office. You get a four-car garage. You get yourself some great collectible cars in there. I'm telling you. And the quality of life you get from looking at the beach every day. Jeez.
So wait a minute. What I figured out here is Graham is Kevin's direct financial advisor. You just said you guarantee he's going to make money on an investment opportunity.
You know what? Okay, how about this, Kevin? I will guarantee I'll pay more for that car than what you paid for it. If you buy an SLS AMG for anything under 165, I promise you that I'll pay at least 166 for it.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's incredible. Well, thank you for that.
$3,000 right there.
So, yeah, there you go, Jeremy. There's your guarantee.
I got some education. But Graham, I could just take a big fat tax write-off and finally get my own thing I can wrap.
That's nice.
That's
you know what we were thinking about doing is if I ever had a plane, wrap it with me lying down. Like the Superman, and then kind of like my waist and belt line area is right where the wheel comes down.
Oh my god! Well, awesome. You can do that too,
Kevin. We have sponsorship dollars on the line, sir.
Wait, talking
for you for the rest of the video. No, wait.
Let me rewind this a little bit. Kevin, when you say RCC and you say crypto, are you talking about like the major ones or are you talking about like the small cap, like some of the more niche
One ones? Third Bitcoin, one third Ethereum, one third Cardano.
And is that because you believe that it's just crypto has a higher upside in the next couple of months than the stock market?
I think 2020 is, I'm sorry, 2022 has a beautiful upside for crypto. Look, it's coming. I mean, more companies are going to take crypto. Apple Pay is going to let us pay with crypto soon. It's going to be everywhere. We're going to, every credit card is going to be, you know, pay with crypto or pay with your fiat, you know?
If Apple starts accepting, if it starts to allow us to use Bitcoin or just crypto in general, I think that could be a catalyst by itself to trigger the Bitcoin to 100K, just by itself. Wow. Just the hype alone.
Seriously, that alone. Wow. See, that's more bullish than even I am. But yeah. Look, I'm usually a big buy the dipper. I'm also at a point where like sometimes, and I'll say this, like my last ETH purchase, I'm like, I'm just going to park a little bit here, not trying to time it. You know, I don't really care to sell any of these. I'm just going to park and hold. I did buy a bunch of Cardano when it was close to $1. It's like $2 now. I'd love for it to fall back to 150. I don't really care if the prices go down. And I think that's the beautiful thing about having some extra cash aside is you don't care if prices go down. You're like, please give me a better deal.
He's just shaking his head. He's like, you millennials, how do you value this? This doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, I'm listening to Kevin. I'm listening to this, okay? I'm listening to this. He's saying there's no good deals in any stocks out there, yet he wants to stick his money in crypto, which, what's Cardano's market cap, Kevin?
A lot.
Just tell me that. You don't think any of this has been priced in? None of it's been priced in? Have you not seen how these things have gone up over the last 10 years? And you're going to tell me there's no good deals in the market and that's a risk? But no, let's stick all our money in crypto? Where there's like no utility? What in the world's going on?
Jeremy, I guarantee you that next year, pick any one of the cryptos in my portfolio and they'll have appreciated far more than any of your stocks by next year.
Wow.
That could be true, but that doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it right, Andre.
If you do it responsibly, it can be. I'm not saying YOLO all of your money into it, but at least diversify those VGX. Please.
It's not our fault you picked the loser.
What? VGX actually is going to do something. Unlike your little cryptos that you like make up in your mind. You're like, oh, it's going to take over the world. It's going to like, oh, and it's like, give me a break, man. Ain't going to do nothing. You guys are still going to be talking 5 years about how this is going to change the world. This is going to be so big. Give me a break, man.
Someone's got to clip that out of context.
I'm sure we'll have something else. With the graph on the side as it goes up.
I mean, I've had a tough past 2 weeks. I had to deal with Corsair and Tattoo Chef, and then I got to come on here and hear Kevin said there's no good deals in stocks, and yeah, he's going to put all his money in these cryptos that have already gone up like ridiculous. Like, come on, man, what's going on in this world?
Well, in fairness, most of the buys were buying the dip around that 29 or before. A lot of these are older, but no, I mean, look, I'm interested in holding stuff cash style, or real estate. So real estate, crypto, cash is my big thing now until I get some really juicy opportunities. Do I like Redfin at 49? Yeah. But look, if I could get it at 35, I just don't mind waiting. And look, is it possible I'm going to miss a bottom or whatever? Fine. I don't care. Yeah, I don't know. It's the market is so bizarro right now, especially with Delta. And now that's where I think we could actually get on the same page, because I really like Wynn. I was actually shocked when I saw they were only worth like $12 billion or something like that, because I'm pretty sure their casinos cost them like a third of that to build. And I think once Delta U-turns, you know, I think recoveries are going to have a really nice rebound. Maybe not as much as we previously had, but I think there's going to be a nice recovery to ride.
I like your recovery there, Kevin. That's like when your girl gets mad at you and you're like, hey, you know, and you try to find like a middle ground. And you're like, hey, well, remember there's this one thing we do together? Look at this. Look at this Cardano market cap, $61 billion. You could buy like, you know how many Tattoo Chefs and Corsair Gamings you could buy for that? And Wynn, you could buy Wynn, Tattoo Chef, Corsair Gaming, Smile Direct Club. I'm talking about the whole company, The Real, Revolve, Upwork, Fiverr. You could buy all those companies and still not spend $61 billion. And I'm still trying to figure out who's using Cardano, because I certainly don't know anybody.
Kevin, do you still have your Cardano? I remember you were buying around like 95 cents a dollar, weren't you?
Yeah. No, I did. I have not sold a single penny of Cardano. I never sold any of the Ethereum that I bought. The only thing I did is I sold a ton of Bitcoin at like 57K or something like that. And then been buying, you know, kind of just trickling back in. So really just me buying back is me just kind of rebuilding that position I previously had. Sometimes it feels boring, and that's why I've been so interested in like selling puts too, because it's just like, oh, really? You'll pay me to promise to buy that stock in the future? Hell yeah.
I like that, Kevin. I like that, man. Yeah. Graham, you should do that too. So
we'll see.
It's not as risky as it sounds. It's really not.
The big risk is you miss the run, right? If you miss the run. Like, for example, Graham bought SoFi today. If I sold puts on SoFi today for $15 or whatever, and I took a big fat credit, and it was like, oh, Graham bought today for $13.50, but with my put credit, it's like I'm buying it for $9.80, which you could have done today. You could have basically gotten for $9.80 with your credit, right? But you have to get to that expiration point. And it's possible that by the time you get to that expiration point, SoFi's $30. Well, now it's like, yeah, sure, I get to keep my credit, but Graham just made way more money holding the shares, right? So I don't think there's anything wrong with shares. You don't have to double time the market. It's simple. It's safe. I like it. I support it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just like the set it and forget it mentality. Like whatever I buy, I basically just assume that money doesn't exist anymore. It's in there. I'm not even going to look at it. I'll buy a little bit more if it dips, but that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that approach.
How do you feel, you know, Graham and Kevin, I really want to hear you guys' opinion. Like, how do you feel about the real estate market in general? Because I know, Kevin, you were talking about potentially buying more real estate. But, like, you know, obviously prices have gone up a lot. You know, do you think this price trend is going to continue, slow way down, reverse? What's kind of your two cents on that, guys?
It's tough because I don't really see anything that would cause it to drop. I could see it slowing down. I could see more inventory coming in the market. I could see higher interest rates having an effect. But I can't see prices dropping like 15-20%. So it's like it's weird in between because it's like there's not much on the market. So as much as I would love to get a good deal, there's nothing there. And so it's like a weird predicament because, like, do you buy now and just kind of compete with a whole bunch of people, or do you wait and risk the market potentially continuing to go up?
It is tough. It like the biggest catalyst, I think, for a downside would be rates going up. But I really think the Fed, they had this analogy a couple weeks ago. They're like, here's the thing. The sooner we taper, the longer we can wait before we raise rates. And I'm like, well, that's all I needed to hear. Please taper tomorrow. You know, so now I'm like excited about the taper because the sooner they do it, the longer they'll wait on raising rates. And I think that's the big risk to real estate is rates going up, because we saw it in 2018. I mean, we 2018 summer market was a disaster. I lost a lot of money that summer in real estate commissions because just all of a sudden things that used to sell within 24 hours all of a sudden weren't selling, and we had to drop prices 12% just to get stuff to move. It was nuts. So I think rates will do that. But yeah, between now and then, maybe you get some more winter inventory, eviction inventory. My favorite time to buy, October to January, because that's usually when people are like, it's the holidays. But the people who are selling are the ones who need to sell. They're desperate to get out. And I want to come in and buy it up.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah.
Andre, are you still doing your real estate situation that Graham and Kevin viciously attacked you on? What's going on with that?
No, last time, because they were going to use the same contractor, or at least I thought they were, as the same person who did this house, which he dropped the ball on. And the contractor kind of stopped paying his crew, and they started coming into the house, and they were just like, we've been here for like 3 months and we haven't been paid. And I feel horrible for these people because I see them all the time. And here I am paying the contractor a ton of money, and the work they're doing is slow or it's bad. And I totally understand their perspective because they're not getting paid. And I assumed that project that I was going to do with them would have used the same guy. And I was like, I'm just not going to do that because I don't want to use that guy. But they said they would never work with them again. So I'm just going to wait until another deal comes through, and I'm okay with being patient and finding a better deal and a better contractor. So I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I think you saved yourself a world of stress, man. Did. Like contracting and construction, the worst, most cancerous thing you could get into, in my opinion. I mean, like, I'm sure there are other things that are more cancerous.
Everybody's told me that. Everyone who I've ever asked, they're like, it's the worst industry you could be in.
Yeah, seriously. Like, it's literally one of those things where it's like, when you start a project, you're like, it's going to be so fun. Everything's going to go great. You know what I found? And this sounds like super first world problem-ish. It's really effing hard to spend money. Like, that sounds crazy because we're so used to like Amazon, but it's like, you want to get a contractor? It's hard. You want to get a developer? You want to get an architect? It's hard. And again, this is like super first world, but I had to be back yesterday at a specific deadline. My Southwest flight got canceled, delayed like 2 hours. I wanted to be back here in the studio for a Fox interview, which is really important. It's big, you know, it's national TV. And so we got a private plane company. They're like, oh, we could do it. We'll be there at 3. We'll land at this airport. We'll take you right away. You'll be back at 4:20. That was the actual interview. You'll be back at 4:20. You'll have enough time to get to your interview. And I'm like, great, no problem. Put a hold on my credit card. And it was going to be a lot of money. I mean, it was going to be like $14,000. It was insane. And so I was going to pay that myself. Like, the campaign doesn't pay for that kind of stuff because it's extravagant. But anyway, so we're there at 3:00, no plane. And we're like, what the hell? Like, we need to go. And they're like, oh, it'll be there soon. The
The plane doesn't show up until 3:43 is when the thing lands. And I'm like, if I board this plane, I miss my 5 o'clock interview. So we're like, we can't board anymore. We told you we needed it at 3. You screwed us. Now I have to go try to set up a laptop webcam for a Fox interview in somebody's apartment. Because Southwest canceled us basically. And then now these people screwed up. And then they're like, yeah, well, the flight's non-refundable, so screw you. Thanks for the 14 grand.
Wow.
I'm like, you want a contract? It is a nightmare. Contracting is that every day.
Wait, are you serious? You never got your money back?
No. I mean, I put it on a credit card. Thank God I didn't wire them the money. I put it on my JPM. So obviously I'm going to dispute it. We have documentation. They said they were going to be at 30. But I mean, this is a $14,000 1 hour plane ride that they screwed me on, that I was only willing to pay to be in my studio for a Fox interview that I couldn't do because they screwed me.
That's insane. Yeah. Dude. Yeah. Holy crap. Yeah.
It's time to wrap it up, Graham.
All right, guys. With that said, thank you so much for watching. I really appreciate it. Make sure to subscribe. You got to smash that subscribe button and hit the like button. And also, make sure to add the Clips channel down below in the description. If you've already done that, hit the notification bell. All of our information is down below in the description with some really good stuff. Thank you guys so much for watching. And until next time.
Peace out.
See ya. Bye.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.